All right, brethren, Judges chapter 9. Let's go to the Lord. Our God and our Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. Lord, we ask you today if you would send forth your Spirit, bless the word, cause us to come to Christ and enter into him, and whatever it is, Lord, that your people need, that you would bless us today and make us behold him. Forgive us our sins, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Judges 9, verse 50. Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and got them up to the top of the tower. And Abimelech came into the tower and fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. Then he called hastily unto the young man his armor-bearer, and said unto him, Draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. This chapter is quite lengthy and tells the story of Abimelech. He was the illegitimate son of Gideon. He was the son Gideon produced with his Shechemite concubine. And Abimelech rejected God. He rejected Gideon's God. And his desire was to make himself a king. And so he went to Gideon's children and he deceived them. He beguiled them. Told them what a good king he would be. And so they made him a king. And afterwards, he murdered every one of them. 70 sons of Gideon. In one day, on one stone, he murdered them all. The devil entered the garden and beguiled Eve. He entered the garden and beguiled Eve. He would be the king. He would be the most high. I will be the most high. I'll set my throne on high. And he entered the garden and beguiled Eve. He tricked her. He put a question mark in her mind on God. That's how the devil, the accuser, works. And it resulted in Adam sinning against God, which resulted in us all falling in Adam, becoming totally dead in sins. And so the result of that fall is men do what Gideon's children did. They look to a man rather than to God. They wanted a man to be their king. And by nature, we come forth wanting to be the king. We want the glory that belongs to God only by nature. And the whole course of our life from the first day God calls us to the last is God showing us who the true king is and making us see that we're not the king. We're not the king. He is. He is. But when Abimelech slew Gideon's children, Gideon's youngest son, Jotham, survived. He was not slain. His name means Jehovah is perfect. That's what Jotham means. And he stood on the Mount of Blessing, and he declared, he prophesied Abimelech would be destroyed. He prophesied that Christ Jesus is Jehovah, the perfect one. He's the only one who ever walked this earth since the fall that's perfect. And we have to be perfect for God to receive us. and he's the perfect one. And he's been declaring from the Mount of Blessing from the beginning, from the garden all the way. Then we came into the earth and did it. Now he's doing it from Mount Zion. He's been declaring from the Mount of Blessing the devil's defeat. The devil's defeat and the triumph of all his people. That's our gospel. So toward the end of Abimelech's murderous reign, it says in verse 50, "Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it." Now, first of all, this city called Thebez means conspicuous. It means conspicuous. Apparently, this town was white, and it stood out from all others. Conspicuous. The root word means a fine white linen made in Egypt. It was a fine white linen made in Egypt. That's where the name came from. The Son of God came down and took flesh. He came down and took flesh like his brethren in this cursed Egypt. That's where he came to. And he came to make a precious snow-white linen garment for his people. And our Lord Jesus walked this earth, the conspicuous one. He was the conspicuous one. None ever walked this earth like him. Nobody was ever like him. Snow white in sinless perfection, perfect in his righteousness. Everything he did was perfection, perfect obedience to God. And this root word means a linen bleached as by a fuller. A fuller was somebody who washed clothes and made them white. And you remember in the Mount of Transfiguration, his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, as no fuller on earth can white them. He's the conspicuous one. Christ is unlike any other. He's the Holy One, the Faithful One, the Righteous One, the Conspicuous One. And he's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He came to purify the sons of Levi. He came to make pure all God's elect people. He came to get the glory for making all God's children to be kings and priests unto God, to purify us. That means make us absolutely perfect. Perfect. And he does it by his blood. He does it by his spirit. He does it by his gospel. Now Abimelech encamped against Thebez and took it. Our sovereign substitute, when the time came, he permitted the devil to use men to encamp about him, to besiege him, and nail him to the cursed tree. And it looked like the devil took it. It looked like the devil took this conspicuous city. It looked like he defeated our Lord Jesus. But he only bruised our Lord's heel. But in the process, the Lord Jesus, in putting away all the sin of his people, in making his people thoroughly righteous and holy in him, sanctifying us forever by his one offering, our Lord Jesus Christ crushed the devil's head, just like he said he would in Genesis 3:15. He said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman." We're going to see the enmity here between the devil and the woman. "And I will put enmity between thy seed," the Lord Jesus, "and her seed," that's his people. "It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his head." He bruised the Lord's heel, the Lord bruised his head. Took all the ammunition away from the accuser of the brethren. "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death." The power of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Christ fulfilled the law, put away the sin of his people, and took all the power away from the devil. "He delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Child of God, rejoice in this. Rejoice in this. The great accuser of the brethren has been cast down. He has been cast down. The Lord has, it's God that justified his people. It's Christ that laid down his life and rose for us and intercedes for us so that when any accusation is brought, he intercedes for you before God, and God will not lay a charge of condemnation to his people. That's great reason to rejoice. Now, by his obedience, by the Lord's precious blood, by what he accomplished for his people, our Lord Jesus made for every one of his elect a snow-white linen garment. His perfect righteousness, his obedience. By one man's obedience, many shall be made righteous. By that obedience, that is the righteousness. He is the righteousness, that snow-white linen garment. And he sends this gospel. He's like Jotham, the Jehovah, the perfect one, crying from the Mount of Blessing. And he sends this gospel. And by the Spirit of God, using nothing in you and me whatsoever, he comes to these lifeless, dead bodies, spiritually dead in sin, trespasses and sin, and he creates something out of nothing. He creates a new man in his image that is perfect just like he's perfect, without any sin. Peter called it the inward man, which is not corruptible. Born of the incorruptible seed, a new man perfect by Christ's doing. And he robes you in that snow-white garment of righteousness. That's a beautiful picture of what it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for God to robe you in Christ's perfect righteousness so that you're not like anybody else in this world. You're righteous, perfectly righteous. That's who of all God's elect that he calls. And he keeps purifying your heart. He keeps sending this gospel, turning you to him only, to Christ only. He's the purifier. He's the one who is purifying as fuller soap. He is the sanctification. He's the sanctifier. And he keeps turning you to him. And through faith, he keeps sanctifying you. Through faith, he makes you quit looking at you. Through faith, he makes you quit hearing the devil. Through faith, he shuts your ears to everything around you but him. And when that's the case, you're conspicuous because you don't trust anybody but the Lord Jesus. You don't look to anybody but the Lord Jesus. That is so different from this world and its religion. The world and its religion is doing exactly what the sons of Gideon were doing. They're trying to make a man a king, namely each one trying to make themselves a king and trying to triumph by their own beguiling. And the Lord takes his people from that, makes you perfect, and will not let you again trust in the arm of your flesh. He will not again let you perish due to you. He just won't do it. And that makes you conspicuous. But because his people look to none but Christ, because Christ's people are kept looking to none but him, trusting him alone as our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption, that makes his people, his church, this holy city, conspicuous. And the devil wants nothing more than to attack it and destroy it. That's what he wants to do. He wants to scatter the sheep. That's what he wants to do. So he attacks the holy city. He attacks the church, this conspicuous city. But here's the good news. There is a strong tower in this holy city. Look now at verse 51. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women, and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and got them up to the top of the tower. They ran into this strong tower, and they shut the doors up to Abimelech and to all his men, and they went up to the top of the tower. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the strong tower in this conspicuous city, in his church. He's the strong tower. That's another reason the Lord's church stands out in this world. We have no other place of refuge but Christ. We have no other means and flee to none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our strong tower. When the devil attacks, when he fires his darts, the Lord is going to make you do what the people of Thebes did. This is what he makes his children do. He finds us attacked, encamped, cast down, like Elijah, hiding in the back of a cave. And in the wilderness, running, not able to do a thing for ourselves. And he speaks with a still, small voice through this gospel. And he turns you back to Christ. And you go into the strong tower. Into the strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. We run into the name of the Lord. He's the strong tower, and we're safe. We're safe. I pray the Spirit of God today will give us faith to run into this strong tower. Because when you behold Christ and you're looking to Him, that's what purifies the heart. That's what shuts out the enemy. The Lord Jesus is salvation for every need His people have. That's what His name being a strong tower means. He is salvation in every way you and me need salvation. He is. He meets every need. If you have any mighty enemies like Abimelech, you're not going to defeat them by the strength of your hand and by your wisdom and by what you try to do. The best thing you can do is run to Christ into the high tower, because the God of my rock, that's who He is. He's Almighty God. In Him will I trust. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Do you need direction? His name's a strong tower. His name is the Counselor. Cast yourself on Him and His mighty name and ask Him to lead you. He promised He would lead His people by the Spirit of God. He promised that. Do you need mercy and pity and compassion? His name is the Everlasting Father. That means He'll never stop being your father, child of God. He'll never stop having pity and compassion on His children. He pities us, and He keeps drawing us to Him. He's the strong tower. His people run to Him. Do you need a wonder? Do you need a miracle of grace to save you? We get in situations where we think, this is going to take a miracle. That's the only thing God does. That's the only thing He does. The fact that you still believe after however long it's been since He first called you, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. You just think, it dawned on me last night, I got to thinking about how many people in this world, to come in here and sit down and hear this message would gall them. They can't do it. It's just all just like, might as well be Aesop's fables to them. And God's given you a heart to believe Him. That's a miracle. And He's kept you through every storm, every hill, every valley, your own sinful self and every enemy around about you. And He's kept you. He only works miracles. His name is wonderful. That's what it means. Do you need peace? His name is the Prince of Peace. Run into this strong tower. You won't have peace looking to you. You won't have peace looking to the world. You won't have peace looking to your bank account. You won't have peace. You won't have peace in this world. He said, in this world, you'll have trouble. He said, in me, you shall have peace. Go to Him. Go to Him. The name of the Lord's a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. His name's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. You need to be healed. He's the great physician. He healed His people with His stripes. We're healed. And He healed you when He called you. And He keeps healing you. He keeps healing you. Applying the balm. Do you need pardon for your sins? You need to be justified for your sins. His name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He is the justification of his people, the only justification we have. We can't justify ourselves. We can't clear ourselves. He's your righteousness, and in him you're righteous. Run to him. Does the way seem impossible to you? His name is Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The Lord will provide. That answer that Abraham gave to Isaac, that is the wisest answer we can give to anybody. When people are troubled like Isaac was, Dad, we got to do something. We got to get a lamb. We got to put our hand to this and fix this. My son, God will provide himself. That's faith. That was a work of faith to comfort his child with that word and not listen to anything else. He ran into the strong tower, and he was urging Isaac, run into the strong tower. Do you need his presence? His name's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. He's Emmanuel, God with us. That means at all times, in every situation, and he's saving for his name's sake. Do you need comfort? His name's the consolation of Israel. Run to him. You know, this doesn't seem practical to a worldly man. This is the most practical thing that you can ever tell anybody. Christ is salvation. For every need you have, that means every need you have, he's the only salvation that's saving you from it. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Listen to that now. He's my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Brethren, the Lord Jesus is our high tower. He's wisdom to guide you. He's power to keep you. He's mercy to pity you. He's holiness to sanctify you. He's righteousness to justify you. He's grace to adorn you. He's glory to crown you. That's who he is. The Lord is my light, David said, and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? But you remember Elijah? Elijah started thinking. He didn't do anything. The Lord used him to do some mighty things. And Elijah started thinking, I've been jealous for God. And look at everybody in Israel. They stoning the prophets, that nobody's standing with. I'm the only one. I've been jealous for God. And with that, he became strong in his flesh. And his faith vanished. And when Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you tomorrow just like you killed my 400 prophets, Elijah tucked his tail like a dog and ran away into the wilderness and hid in a cave. David said, the Lord is the strength of my life. And when the Lord comes to you, and he has to come to you and renew you in the spirit of your mind and renew faith in you and make you put off your old man and put on your new man, you don't mortify your flesh yourself. You do it through the Spirit, and he gets all the glory. Because if we do it ourselves, we're cleaning a dirty floor with a dirty mop, and it just gets twice dirty. Because then we're proud of what we've done. I've been jealous for God. God has to bring us down and make us see, I'm your salvation. None other. None other. But look at this now. Male, female, young or old, go to Christ. Get into the tower. Go to the top of the tower. There was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city. And this is true. Our Lord's going to make everyone that's of his Thebes flee into this tower. And they're going to be saved. You're going to be saved, child of God. It's just all there is to it. You're going to flee into this tower. And you're going to wait till the indignation be overpassed. And you're going to be safe. Abimelech came to that tower and he fought against it. He went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. This is a real battle. This is a real warfare we're in, brethren. It's a spiritual warfare. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against the devil and powers and principalities and wicked spirits in high places. And we're no match for them. We are no match for them. The devil and every enemy of our Savior is going to come hard against the door of the tower to try to burn it with fire. But Christ is the door. And he shut the door. And no man can open it. This is the beauty of this. When the Lord draws you into him, and he's got you strengthened in faith so that you trust him and you hope in him and you really know he's the righteousness that's got your heart secure. He's the truth that makes you put on bowels of mercies. And you know everything's going to be fine. The Lord is salvation. He's strength. He's going to save us. Nobody can open that door. When the Lord has shut it to the enemy can't open it. He can't open it. He already consumed the fire of God's justice for his people. So when Abimelech comes hard at the door and tries to burn it with fire, he can't burn it up. The Lord already consumed the fire of God's wrath for his people and put our sin away. The devil just has no ammunition. He can't cast you down. All right, why do we, as his church, as the woman, why do we preach this gospel of Christ? Why do we preach this message? Why don't we start telling, why don't we preach morality like the world does? Why don't we start turning them into themselves and preach moral stories and show Andy Griffith features? Why don't we do that? Because Christ is the rock who has crushed the devil's head, and he's the rock who's going to crush every enemy's head. Verse 53, and a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head and all to break his skull. This certain woman dropped a millstone out of this tower, and it landed right on Abimelech's head and broke his skull. God's elect that make up this city is the certain woman. You that he's called, you're the certain woman. You're his church. He's male and female, young and old, rich and poor, strong and weak. Shut up safe in Christ our high tower. And Christ is the rock we preach. He's the rock we preach because he's the rock that crushed the serpent's head on the cross, and he's the rock that's going to defeat every enemy. The enemies in our sin nature and the enemies without. Jesus said to them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. That's what he's going to do to his people. He's going to break us. But whoever this stone falls on, it's going to grind him to powder. And that's what our Lord's doing to every one of our enemies, brethren. Christ is the smitten rock. He's been smitten in place of his people, and from him the water of life freely flows. And that rock follows us everywhere we go through this wilderness. He's the cleft of the rock. He's the one in whom God puts his people and covers us with his hand where we see God's glory. He's the rock from whom we're given honey and oil. And he's nothing like this world's rock. This world's rock can't do anything unless you let him. This world's rock needs you to help him out. You got to help him sanctify you. You got to help him make you justified. You got to help him make you be born again. You got to help him. Have you been in the faith long enough to know that he don't need your help? He don't. He's doing everything for you and me. Well, if we got to believe, you can't believe right now without him making you believe. You can't repent without him making you repent. Elijah couldn't even, when he was in that wilderness, he couldn't even sleep unless God gave him sleep. Sometimes he'll hold your eyes waking and there ain't no way you can go to sleep. This is God. Their rock's not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. You just preach this gospel and men will tell you, well, that's not the Jesus I believe. We know that. Their rock's not like our rock. In all things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Listen to this from David in 2 Samuel 22:47. He said, "The Lord liveth, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It's God that avengeth me. And it bringeth down the people under me. And it bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. And I'll sing praises to thy name." He is the tower of salvation for me, David said. He shows mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. That's you, brethren. This is what our Lord's doing for us. This is why we preach Christ Jesus the rock. He's the one that's going to break the head of the enemy. Verse 54, "Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor bearer, and he said to him, Draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew me." He was too proud to say a woman slew him. That's the problem. That's our problem by nature, and that's the problem of this world, pride. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. You keep fleeing into Christ, our tower, by faith. I'll do what the Lord made Elijah do. Ezekiel. He said, you preach, and you pray, and you tell them to live. I'm preaching the rock, and I'm saying live. I'm saying believe on Christ. Flee into the tower by faith. And I pray for you every day. And the Lord said, and I'll send my spirit, and I'll make them alive. I'll make them flee into the tower. You keep coming and hearing the preaching of his gospel, and you keep looking to Christ only. And Paul said, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. When he's called all his own, call every one of us into the tower, then each one of his spiritual Israel are going to behold all our enemies totally defeated, and we're going to depart to our place. We're going to go be with him forever. He's going to win the victory. He has won it. He is winning it. And he shall accomplish the victory. And that's why he tells you, in the world you're going to have trouble. The city's going to be attacked. But he said, you keep fleeing to the tower. In me you have peace. And I've overcome the world already. And you'll overcome in him. Amen. Father, we pray you bless this word and pray you would work these things in our hearts and make us truly, truly know, be persuaded that your dear Son, our Lord Jesus, is our salvation. Lord, shut out our flesh and shut out this world and make us hear Christ speak. Make us see him so high and lifted up. Sanctify him so highly in our heart that we can't fear anybody but him. We need this peace and this rejoicing and this confidence to know, Lord, everything we face and everything we encounter is just part of you saving us and showing us you are our salvation. Just as needful as the cross. Forgive us, Lord, for not running into the tower. Thank you for continuing to make us do so. In his precious name we ask it. Amen.